Wood Foster believes to see where you're going, you have to look at where you've been. It was with that in mind that Foster, who took over as president of the Minnesota Bar last month, compiled the often colorful stories that detail the history of Minnesota's legal profession. Among them is the journal of an 1800s lawyer who describes his commute.
We said he was called down from Traverse to Sioux, where he was then residing, to the county seat of Goodhue County to respond to a motion before Judge Chatfield. I paddled a canoe down the tortuous course of the Minnesota River for about 150 miles, attended to the business, sold the canoe for $3, and walked back to my home, a distance straight across the county of 90 miles.
Besides frontier life, the history also illustrates some of the more notorious incidents that shaped Minnesota law. One particularly gruesome example led to the state's ban on capital punishment. Between 1849 and 1911, those convicted of premeditated murder were punished with death by hanging in the basement of the Ramsey County Courthouse in St. Paul. Foster says the state's last hanging in 1906 was badly botched.
The rope stretched about 8.5 inches, and the neck stretched another 4, and the man's feet were on the floor, and took him a long time to die. At that time, there was a law on the books that prevented newspapers from reporting on executions, but they did anyway. And so there were prosecutions of newspapers that arose out of that execution, and it brought so much attention to the issue that ultimately that led to the abolition of capital punishment here.
There are stories of the infamous. In the 1920s and 30s, gangsters such as Babyface Nelson and John Dillinger found sanctuary in St. Paul. Police Chief William O'Connor tolerated vice and allowed gangsters to roam freely as long as they didn't cause trouble within the city limits. There's an account of the celebrated criminal trial of business tycoon Wilbur Fauché. Fauché, for whom the Fauché Tower in Minneapolis was named, was tried in federal court with mail and securities fraud. That trial ultimately led to a murder-suicide involving a juror.
She was accused of having lied about whether or not she had worked for one of the defendants. Apparently she had worked for one of them for 10 days at one point in time and had not disclosed that during jury selection, and held out for an acquittal of Mr. Fauché. So there was a mistrial, and on the retrial he was convicted, but she was separately prosecuted for perjury, convicted, and killed herself and her entire family before reporting for the 6-month jail sentence that she received.
Fauché and his associate were sentenced to 15 years at Leavenworth. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt pardoned the two after they served 3 years. While much of Minnesota's legal system is rooted in the prairie days of the 1850s, Foster argues that many of the profession's true pioneers walk among us today.
The whole question of diversity in the practice has changed radically. In 1970, there were still just a handful of women practicing in the entire state, and even fewer minority lawyers. And I'm sure that the statistics in this book demonstrate the vast inroads that have been made, although there's still a long ways to go.
Even with prominent jurists such as Court of Appeals Chief Judge Edward Toussaint, Justice Alan Page, and Chief Justice Kathleen Blatz, women and minorities have faced hurdles their white male counterparts have not. The Hennepin County Bar uncovered a solid glass ceiling in place in Twin Cities law firms, government, and corporate law offices as late as 1993. Foster says if there's one element that's constant throughout Minnesota's legal history, it's that lawyers have always had an image problem.
I read a bar president's statement in about 1910 or 1915, in which he said that it's been 40 or 50 years since people really had respect for our profession. I think we all look back and think we've passed the golden era. There was a time when lawyers were really highly respected and so forth. I have come to think that that time did not exist. And yet, as I grew up and my father was a lawyer, I had that image, a Gregory Peck, Atticus Finch kind of image of what lawyers did.
Perhaps the image problem for Minnesota's legal profession stems from the state's first Chief Justice, Aaron Goodrich, who was appointed 150 years ago. After 2 years on the bench, President Millard Fillmore removed him from office by demand of several prominent Minnesota attorneys.
The lawyers said Chief Justice Goodrich's conduct had been such as would disgrace him in any civilized society, and urging that he be abated as a common nuisance. Apparently he did a certain amount of imbibing while on the bench. It's kind of unclear exactly what he did, but whatever he did, he sure ticked off a lot of people.
The book, 150 Years of Law and Lawyers in Minnesota, is available at all state historical societies, about 500 libraries, and at the Minnesota State Bar Association. I'm Elizabeth Stawicki, Minnesota Public Radio.